Hear the reading from the first chapter of Galatians. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. I'm absolutely amazed that so soon after I left, you've turned away from the gospel message that I preached to you. Oh, you stupid people, who's pulled the wool over your eyes? Seminary students, I would advise you never to write a letter to a congregation that you have served that starts like that. Otherwise, there will be quite a few of us that have to come and pick up the pieces. But that's exactly the way St. Paul writes to the Christians at Galatia. At the beginning of chapter 3, he says it, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Even if we or an angel from heaven," he says, "preach any other gospel to you than the one that we have preached to you, let him be cursed. Let him be condemned. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." Those certainly are some pretty strong words, and there can't be any mistake about just exactly what they mean. Anybody who preaches any gospel other than this one is condemned. The Galatians had the wool pulled over their eyes, and it required a very strong rebuke, followed, of course, by some very careful instruction, especially in the difference between the law and the gospel. On this Reformation Day, those words recall for us the decisive words of Martin Luther at the Diet of Worms in 1521, when a representative of the Roman Catholic Church demanded that Luther retract the gospel message that he had been teaching and his condemnation of the sale of indulgences and other things, he said, "Unless I am convinced by scripture and plain reason, my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against my conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise." And there Luther was standing on the same platform enunciated by St. Paul in this letter to the Galatians. There is no other gospel. Now, what was it that led the Apostle Paul to speak that way, to take such a position as to curse anyone who preached a different message there in Galatia or any place else? The very heart of the gospel of salvation was at stake. When Jews who had accepted Jesus as their Messiah saw that Gentiles, uncircumcised people, were also coming to Christ, they resented it, and some of them insisted that the uncircumcised Gentiles were not really children of God. The Apostle Peter who'd been there, was at first freely mixed with those uncircumcised Gentile Christians. But when some pressure was put on him by the Jewish Christians, then he separated himself from the Gentiles. And Paul then chastises Peter for his judgment, his error in judgment here. But for the Galatians who had bought into the idea of a gospel which is only for those observant of the Judaism in its ceremonial laws, he had these harsh words: "Oh, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who's pulled the wool over your eyes?" Now, what was the big deal about this? The idea that something other than faith in Christ's righteousness alone was required for salvation, that in itself perverted the gospel, and it became a different gospel. The gospel is God's work alone, and salvation does not rest on whether or not you are circumcised, on whether or not you have the right pedigree, on whether or not you have fulfilled the expectations of other people, whether it be John Tetzel or the most up-to-date spiritual fad in our own century. Anything that draws attention away from Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and even dares to suggest that human works are a part of salvation, is another gospel and is condemned. Whatever adds to the work of Jesus himself so that the gospel becomes Jesus plus is another gospel. It is not from God, and it is to be condemned. The gospel of salvation in Christ Jesus is not the work of man. It cannot be completed. It cannot be tempered by the performance of any man or any woman. St. Paul says, "The gospel is not according to man. It came by the revelation of Jesus Christ." He says, "You are in Christ Jesus, who is your righteousness and your holiness and your redemption." He says, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The gospel that St. Paul defends is no other message than that the righteousness of God is not found in human works, not even in those that are done out of love for Christ, but is in Christ's life and death alone. That alone is your righteousness. Christ's righteousness is yours, not by circumcision, not by a good attitude, not by better sanctification than those around you, not by your own earnest efforts or your good intentions, not by purchasing any kind of an indulgence, then or now, not by a greater sorrow for your sins than other people have. It's yours alone by God's grace. He gives it to you. He sets it before you in his word and sacraments. And he says only, "Believe it." And then he gives you the very faith that he demands as a free gift. That is Christ alone, that is grace alone, and that is faith alone. And it's in this pure gospel of grace that Paul defends here in no uncertain terms. And it's to this gospel alone that you are called to believe and teach and confess. If anyone, a preacher or teacher here or anywhere else, or even an angel from heaven, comes to you with any gospel other than the promise of Christ's righteousness through faith alone, let him be accursed. If anyone puts himself at the center of the proclamation or adds any human work or any attitude or piety to faith in Christ's righteousness, then he preaches a different gospel. If anyone tells you that it is your obedience and goodness that makes you a Christian, and not Christ's obedience alone that makes you a child of God, let him be accursed. But thank God, and thank your God every day for the preaching of the gospel of salvation by Christ's righteousness alone. Believe that gospel and cling to it for Jesus' sake. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.